Back together again, you and I, on a Tuesday, May 23rd, 2023 edition of Connecticut Today. I kicked off the show with some thoughts I had on recent street takeovers across the state, including one seen on video. University of New Haven MBA David Sacco rejoined the program to offer his thoughts on the current debt limit issue and debate in Washington. So, when exactly did it become okay to act like animals? When exactly was that deemed okay? Maybe it wasn't deemed okay, but is this something new? There's a couple of stories in the news over the past couple of days, and people are sending me stuff on social media saying, hey, did you see this? Did you see that? Well, yeah. I don't remember when I was growing up a few decades ago. All right, I'm going all suburban white guy boomer on you, but heck, I can because it's my show. Monday through Friday, from 2 to 6. Hey, how are you? I don't remember young people's, youngins, when I was growing up, acting like animals. It's the only way I can put it. And should we designate an area of Connecticut? We have all this open land in the state. Should we build a new racetrack? Should we build an ocean of asphalt? Should we build somewhere where young folks can just go, and if they want to, they can act like animals, they can do donuts, they can put people in harm's way themselves, not anybody else, and maybe then we can buy tickets and watch the whole thing. I don't know if you've seen this, and again, I don't quite remember this happening growing up. Maybe it's because now the animals can get out there, the subhuman among us can go out there and organize stuff at the drop of a hat and do what I don't quite understand. Did you see this? This story's been circulating around the state. Everybody's been covering it. This version here I'm reading from is from our great news partners at News 8. Donut tire marks were seen Monday throughout the parking lot at the Fieldstone Common Shopping Plaza and the nearby intersection of Route 195 in Trumbull. This all happened Saturday night, 10 p.m. Video from a street takeover. So they take over the streets now. I remember Saturday night, I used to go hang out. We went to the movies, went for a couple of cocktails, hung out with the guys and gals we knew, shot the you-know-what for hours and hours, drank a little, smoked a little. We never took over the streets because we didn't act like animals. We didn't act like feral beasts out there. Video from at the intersection, this is in Tolland, shows people kicking and jumping on a woman's car as she gets out to confront them. Then somehow the crowd jumps on the convertible top of the car. All right, I did some dumb things when I was growing up. I never jumped on somebody's car. You know, I don't know, maybe I ran around with a bunch of squares. None of us got around and said, "Yeah, there's a single white woman in a car there. Let's go and jump on the car and harass her like common thugs. Let's go do that. That's fun, isn't it? Yeah, that's some good old that's some good old stuff, ain't it? Jeez, you have to see this video. This is frightening. And again." Maybe it happened when I was growing up. I don't remember it. So maybe this is my idea for the day. Now, I'm sure local municipalities won't take me seriously, but they should. Think of the fun we could have if we just take an old, you know, there are always economic folks saying, geez, what do we do with these shopping malls, right, that are not filled anymore. A couple of them are empty around the state. One of them's being sold online. You have all that asphalt there. And all the street racers all say, well, there's no place for us to do this. Okay, then you can do this. We'll build this new facility on acres of asphalt, and you can go and act like crazed idiots, because apparently you're doing it in the streets. You're doing it in the streets. But this happened in Tallinn. This is almost beyond description. And the police are saying, and Brian Foley, who I think is the mayor of Tallinn, is saying now, well, you know, if you run into one of these takeovers, you're urged not to get out of your car. Try to stay safe and call police. No, you know what I say? Hit the accelerator. See what happens. Maybe you shouldn't do that. Foley saying, we used to see a mix of Springfield people coming down to Connecticut, and I believe we still are. Really? Folks, you got to see this video, and it's up on our Facebook page when you get a chance. Facebook.com/WICC600. Listen, we all did some goofy stuff with cars, and you know, car stuff and kids and teenagers, it goes back decades. But really? Just surrounding a car and acting like common animals? How is this? Where does this come from? It's one thing to drive fast. It's one thing to street race and drag race. That's been around for decades and years. But I'm urging you, if you haven't seen this, you got to watch this. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/WICC600, and watch this. And read the comments from Brian Foley. I said he was the mayor. Excuse me, he's the town manager. People were wearing masks, he said, and walking up and down during stop traffic. Well, could you have blamed somebody if somebody took out a gun there and started firing away? And then, you know what we would have heard from mom and dad and the parents? Oh, they were just out. They were venting their frustrations at the world. They were pent up energy. I'm surprised we're not still blaming this stuff on COVID, right? Weren't we blaming stuff on COVID up till about 3 months ago? Well, you know, it's all that built up stress and the fact that they lost so much of their school time from COVID. I'm surprised we're not hearing that. Folks, I'm telling you, this is nuts. So this is my proposal. Why don't we build somewhere in Connecticut? Let's take one of these old bombed out shopping centers or strip malls, put up nice 10, 20 foot high fences with barbed wire around it, and let kids, young teens, go nuts and let the chips fall where they may. I'm not being serious. Well, nobody would pick up the liabilities on this. Imagine that if one city or town set up a place, hey, this is the medieval track. You can go in there, spin your cars around, go nuts, do donuts, run over people, but it's fine. Just stay off the streets. Why does this happen? What is going on here? And again, street racing's always been around. Cruising's always been around. Car stuff has always been around. Man, oh man, though. And then I have another video up there. Once again, you can check that out, too, at Facebook.com. Police in Norwalk arresting a man accused of leading Connecticut street racing takeover events. Oh, we're just going to take over the streets. 20 years old. 20. When you were 20, were you taking over any streets? 20-year-old Jefferson Duron was a ringleader who led events where groups blocked roads, intersections, and parking lots. The spectators would set fires, perform burnouts, and set off fireworks. In some cases, the group would box in and vandalize police cruisers. That's anarchy, folks. This guy's got to get put away for a while. That's anarchy. Why are we allowing this? A gun was seen at least once. What goes on in the mind of a young person where they think it's apparently okay to street race, take over streets, and vandalize police cruisers? That's not normal. That's not normal. The events were in Hartford, New Haven, and Tallinn counties. At least 200 people were usually at each takeover. Duron's Ford Mustang GT was seen leading the events, According to police, he was arrested on Sunday in the Milford area, and he's been released on a $30,000 bond. $30,000 bond's nothing. That means he only had to put up $3,000. Charged with failure to display plates. Shocking. Reckless driving, improper rear marker lamps. Shocking. First-degree rioting, inciting to riot, and first-degree reckless endangerment. What's the purpose of this? I'm trying to figure this out. What is the purpose of this? Now, I know in the past, street racing advocates and car advocates have said, well, there's nowhere else we can do it. Hence, my wonderful idea. Why don't we do this? Why don't we take one of these, there was a story, I think, by my buddy Luther Turmel in the Hearst papers the other day, a shopping center, I guess, being sold online or something like that. If the shopping center business or the strip mall business in this state is as bad as people say it is, it may be dwindling, it's better in spots, who knows, just sell the land and put up a, I don't know what you would call it, a new Colosseum like they had in Rome where people fought the animals. Why don't we just do that again? And I'm only half kidding, by the way. And get this stuff off the streets and have these street racers and these marauders and these nutcases out there, instead of surrounding a helpless woman. By the way, what if that woman had a gun? See, this is why, man, you got to pack. I'm serious. You ladies, there are some people in society that seek you out. Oh, man, she's a girl. She ain't going to do anything. Yeah, you should come out packing and then see what they say. But think about the corporate sponsorships you could have, you know, at the Connecticut Gladiators Coliseum. Just let them do that. Say, hey, you can come in here. There'll be ambulances standing by. We'll have a triage tent set up. And instead of vandalizing the streets and climbing on people's cars and stomping on their cars like you're somewhere out of some savage third world country, you can do it there. You're off the main street. Imagine the releases you'd have to sign. That. Oh, my God. Where does this come from? Is this because there was no upbringing at home? Is this because it's just violent tendencies? I tell you, that video of that episode in Tolland is frightening. It is frightening. And kudos to that woman. She gets out and tries to plead with these idiots. And they get in her face. They're yelling and screaming, stomping on the car. How is somebody at that age so angry? What are they angry at? What are they venting? They live in the greatest country on the planet, like Tim Scott said. They live in the greatest country on the planet. Well, this is just, you know, young people being young people. No, it's not. You watch that video out of Tolland. There's something seriously wrong with those people. Seriously. Alcoholism, drug use, STDs. There's something crawling around in there. Yes, I did some nutty things when I was a kid, but come on, folks. Any of you fine folks listening, did you ever think of surrounding a vehicle? And again, what would we be talking about right now if that woman got out and she had a 9mm and she let loose because she felt she was threatened? I tell you, you watch that video and you tell me if she wouldn't have been justified knocking down a couple of those guys, especially the one that was climbing on top of her car. Seriously? And people would blame her if she chose to use deadly force? Come on. But the frightening thing, like I said, is where does this come from? Are all these people mentally deranged? Oh, we just want to have some fun. Well, you don't do it on the street by taking, oh, we want to do donuts. Well, you know what? Too bad. Doing donuts is illegal. Figure something out. And the cops had their cars blocked in. I mean, come on. And again, though, let's see what the penalties are for this. Because if you let people go with a suspended sentence or community time, or you believe the people who are going to beg the judge, oh, he's a good boy, she's a good girl, they didn't mean any harm. Really? Like I said, Go online, facebook.com/WICC600. Take a look at that video from Tolland and ask yourself whether that was you or your husband or your wife or your daughter or your niece or your granddaughter or your mother. Frightening. Some of the people walking around out there. You may look at them and not know they're 2 inches away from physically harming you. But my bigger question is, where does that come from? Look, like I said, street racing is one thing, but this is nuts. Yes, it's been a really good drinking game since last week. Every time you hear the words dead limit or dead ceiling, do a shot. Bang one back. Is this going to go down to the wire? What if we don't do this? What's up with the 14th Amendment? Most importantly, how does that affect you, your credit card rates, your variable rate mortgage? Can Congress and the White House screw this up? Well, one of the guys I invite back here to talk about this stuff because it's way above my pay grade. David Sacco, MBA, practitioner in residence in the finance department, Pompeia College of Business at the University of New Haven. David, it's Paul here. Good afternoon, sir, again. How are you?
Good, Paul. How are you?
Not too bad. So, David, you're watching this from afar, and you're thinking, what? Is this all just an act for the various sides here, David, or is there some real danger here?
Well, I'm not sure it's an act. It's how the political process plays out. I mean, obviously, the closer we get to that June 1st date, and I suspect that June 1st is probably not the real date. My guess is they probably have a week or two after that to get it resolved. But obviously, the closer we get, the more danger there is because, you know, if it were to happen that we weren't to pay off some of the debt that was expiring, and again, they would only be temporarily that we weren't paying off, it would have pretty grave consequences for the financial markets, which would absolutely trickle into the real economy. So, you know, I suspect that, Biden and McCarthy will get something done because they know how serious this is. And then the fact that they're both seriously engaged in the discussion right now has me pretty confident.
Yeah, and you say the financial markets, David, so a lot of listeners, their ears are going to perk up. Oh, wait a minute, my pension fund, my 401k, my annuity. So talk about that. Let's say that for some reason we got too close and got to January 1, although I already see it's percolating. What are the markets thinking right now, and what would they think?
Well, the market's like certainty, right? And you know, the U.S. Treasury market is the market that underpins all of the other financial markets effectively around the world, right? Because whenever you hear that phrase, flight to quality, when something bad goes on anywhere around the world or in the economy, investors put their money in treasuries because they consider those to be the safest securities on the planet. And anything that might threaten that status, you know, will have a trickle-down effect through the rest of the financial market. So, you know, it's unlikely to happen for that very reason, but obviously the closer we get, you know, the markets will get very nervous. I mean, we're already starting to see that the last few days. Today, the stock market was down a couple hundred points, the Dow, that is. And, you know, and as we get closer, expect the markets to react, you know, in a little bit more bipolar way. So if you hear good news, expect the stock market to rally. If you hear that talks are broken down, expect the market to sell off. And then, you know, ultimately, when they do settle it, and I do think it's when and not if, you know, expect a little bit of a relief rally.
So, David Sacco, when it, part of the reaction, if it did trickle down, how would people see that? Would it be credit card interest rates, mortgage interest? How would the everyday person see or feel that that insecurity or that inability to get to a deal in D.C.?
Well, again, if the worst were to happen, and again, I put a very low single-digit probability on that happening, you know, it would have most impact in the interest rate markets, which would then trickle into the stock market. So, you know, if you look at the U.S. Treasury market as being the base case for mortgages, for bank deposit rates, you know, it would have impact on a lot of consumer borrowing. Borrowing costs would go up. It would create uncertainty in terms of what the equity markets were doing. And it probably would, you know, exacerbate whatever kind of recession that we're sort of heading towards right now. So, you know, it would not be a good thing for the economy. And again, that's all the more reason why it's unlikely that McCarthy and Biden will let it get that far.
David Sacco is the guest from the Pompeia College of Business Finance Department at the University of New Haven. Yeah, David, I mean, obviously, they're not crunching numbers one guy or another. They've got dozens and dozens and dozens of people working on this. So I would assume, David, and we're already getting reports today. I'm watching MSNBC, and they highlighted like two or three areas they've come to an agreement on. I think one was clawing back some of this unused COVID money.
Yep.
So, you know, again, you're right. There is progress being made here.
There is. And I think, you know, it's funny. I was listening to someone talk the other day, and the comment I heard was that the essence of democracy is finding common ground with people that you disagree with. And I actually think for the betterment of all of us, we're seeing a little bit of that right now, right? Both sides sort of start off from their extreme positions, and now we're actually seeing real you know, political negotiation mm-hmm. going on. And I do think there are enough you know, on both sides of the Senate and the House, where there's moderates who, you know, ultimately can get a deal done, right? And, it, you know, at this point, it starts out as about which party is going to win this debate. And at the end of the day, if they fail, the country loses. And I do think the gravity of that is kind of settled in. And, you know, the fringe wings of both parties are going to have their positions and what they want to have happen. But I think, you know, there's enough people in the middle that there's a deal to be had. And certainly the consequences of not getting the deal done would be pretty catastrophic for the economy, and no one wants that, especially given what we've just gone through, right? We know that, you know, mid-sized banks are out there in a precarious position right now. You know, it doesn't look like it's affecting bigger banks, but, you know, every time you add a new shock to the system, that creates more uncertainty.
And David, it's interesting. I think one of the things that even you and I and everybody can understand here in this whole thing is when they mention spending in D.C., David, I have to laugh because a lot of people say, well, McCarthy wants to cut spending. And the president says, well, I have cut spending. But one side says, no, cutting spending is spending $99 next year when you spend $100 this year. But in D.C., David, I guess cutting spending a lot of times is cutting the rate of increase here. So, you know, the average American hears this and their eyes roll back in their head.
Yeah, it's exactly right, Paul. The semantics that they use and the fact that the way the budgeting process works in D.C., it's exactly what you just said. They consider it cutting in spending if they just decrease the rate of increase in spending. So it makes no sense. And look, I mean, we you know, the U.S. government is unique in that we can borrow an awful lot of money. The rest of the world is willing to fund our deficits. And, you know, that's okay, but it can't last forever. So, you know, being a little fiscally prudent is probably not a bad thing, especially with all the spending we've seen in the last few years.
David Sacco. David, thank you. David, a practitioner in residence, finance department of the Pompeia College of Business at UNH. David, always good to get your plain thought on this stuff. Easy to understand. We'll talk to you down the road. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Paul. Great talking to you.
Appreciate it. David Sacco there, UNH. So, yeah, look, they're going to get a deal done. But again, it comes down to the semantics here. Listen, what's going to happen here is they're going to get a deal done where they can both look at each other and wink, and they're both going to go back. Like David said, you have the extremes at each party that want, you know, that want to say we were victorious. So the Republicans will go out there and Kevin McCarthy and his minions will go out there and say, hey, we got a decent deal. We slowed down the rate of spending. We clawed back some of the COVID money. And now we brought some sanity back to this whole thing. And you're going to get the minions of President Biden on the other side who are going to say, well, OK, we got a deal. We didn't give in to the Republicans' draconian things, but we did things we think that'll help the country as a whole. And everybody... Everybody goes home happy. And here's the thing. They all go as much as you and I gnash our teeth about this, like it's the Red Sox and the Yankees or it's, you know, the Giants and the Cowboys. They all go to the same restaurants. They all go to the same cocktail parties in Georgetown. They all hobnob with the same people in D.C. And they're all going to sit there with their martinis and go, ah, ha, 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 ha. Boy, we almost fooled them, didn't we?